Right, okay, so we're looking at a discourse of Shabbat, Parshat Chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah, which was said in 1964, and it's part of a series of discourses that was said that year, pretty well every Shabbat, very exceptionally, because it was the year after the Rebbe's mother passed away. And in that year, he had a Hasidic gathering, a Fabrengen, every Shabbat, which was unusual at that stage. And each time he said a discourse, although he said it as if it were an ordinary talk, but in fact it's got the quality. You see, there's talks and discourses. So the discourses are more Kabbalistic in nature. And then it was printed in Yiddish, like the Rebbe spoke in Yiddish, so it was redacted in Yiddish and given into the Rebbe for checking, for reviewing, and it was published many years ago. Here it's been translated into Hebrew with the addition of a commentary, and so we're going to try to explore it. Oh, yam bam ba, ya ya yam bam bo, yam ba dam ba da, yam bam bo, yam bam bam, bam ba yam bam bo, ya yere dam ba, ya yere dam bam bo, oh yo. Ya yiriram ba yam ba yam ma yiriram ba yam ba yam ha yiriram ba ha yiriram ba yo ya ya yiriram ba ha ya yam ba yiriram ba oh yam ba yo yam ba boom. Vayu. Now let's have a look. First of all, should have done that first. Let's have a look at the text of the Chumash. Vayu chaye sara mea shana ve'esrim shana. You've got that, Maureen?
Yep.
So the life of Sarah was 100 years and 20 years, v'sheva shanim and 7 years. Shnei chaye sara. Those were the years of the life of Sarah. Now let's just have a look at this in the Rashi. He says over here, I'm just reading from the English. The reason the word shana is written every time, you see, it says her life was 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years. To tell you that each term, each number must be explained by itself as a complete number. It means something in itself. At the age of 100, she was as a woman of 20 as regards sin, because the Bet Din cannot put any serious punishment on a person under the age of 20. So 20 is the age of majority in Jewish law, even though you've got the idea 12-year-old, a girl becomes an adult, or 13 for a boy, but still, as regard punishment by the law court, that's at 20. So at 20 she was innocent, so at 100 she was also innocent. And similarly, when she was 20, she was as beautiful as when she was 7. Very nice idea, the most that the 7-year-old is the most beautiful. And these were the years of Sarah's life. And it says on the back, the word years is repeated without a number to indicate they were all equally good. So in other words, Rashi, following the sages, he's explaining every single term of her life, of how many years, 100 years, 20 years, 7 years. These are the years of the life of Sarah. Now, the discourse picks this up from the Zohar. So let's go back into the discourse. And the Vayu Chaye Sarah Mea Shana V'Esrim Shana V'Sheva Shanim, the life of Sarah was 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. Shnei Chaye Sarah, these are the years of the life of Sarah. V'itabazon, it says, sorry, let me just see if this is one of, no, I'm sorry. Now, sorry, I've only got this on because of the girls. Now, so the Zohar says, Inun chayin kulu le'elam. these the life of Sarah, these years, they were all above. They were all something exalted. Me'a shana le'ela, 100 years above. Ve'eshrim shana le'ela, 20 years above. Sheva shanim le'ela, 7 years above. So the Rebbe asks, "Mitzarich lahavin, we have to understand. Ma'o perush, b'mayma zohar. What does it mean when the Zohar is saying that the life of Sarah, shechaye Sarah heim le'ela, the years of the life of Sarah are above?" So that's one question. V'gam tzarich lavin, we also have to understand, ma shekatuv v'sir b'pasuk, what it says at the end of the verse, shnei chaye Sarah, it repeats the years of the life of Sarah. So why does it have to, what is it adding there? Okay, so let's jump to paragraph Bet. V'hine inyan zen itbay b'shnei ma'amarei kvot kdushat admur marshab, nishmato eden. So yesterday was the 20th of Cheshvan, which is the birthday of the 5th Lubavitcher Rebbe, Reb Shalom Dovber. And the Rebbe is comparing the two different discourses by the Rebbe Reb Shalom Dovber. One of them also begins this way. It begins, Vayu Chai Sarai. It's got the same beginning. The life of Sarah was, quoting that verse, from 1914. And another one with the same beginning of 1918. And so the Rebbe is comparing these two discourses. See, there's this enormous library of Hasidic teaching. And when the Rebbe was talking about this today, both of those discourses have been printed, they're in books. But when the Rebbe was speaking about it, these discourses were either just in manuscript or at best in mimeograph pages, which sometimes would be like typed with a stencil, you know, like a typed stencil and typing out these tracts of Hasidic teaching. So apparently, these two discourses say different things. They're both explaining the verse Kabbalistically. And we're going to try to understand how it explains the verse Kabbalistically. But at first sight, they seem to be saying two different things. The two discourses are saying two different things. Now, the Hine, because it says, in the discourse of 1914, it says, Shechai Sarah, the life of Sarah, hu achayut, is the life force, shobchinat malchut atzilut, of kingship of atzilut. Sugazun. Susan. Shechayuta hu mibchinat mea shana. The life of kingship of Atzilut comes from the 100 years. Now let's just try and get this straight. So we have the idea that there is, let's see if we can get these out. So we have kingship of the world of Atzilut, right? Emanation, that's the highest world. And the life force which comes to the level of kingship comes from a very exalted level, from Keter, crown, which is signified by this 100. The 100 signifies Keter, crown. And then Eshrim Shana, then the 20 years, that's Chochmah Ubina, wisdom and understanding. So we have, wait a minute, wisdom is on the right, wisdom and understanding. So it's as if they are 10 each, so that is the 20, right? So that's the 20 years. And then we have the 7. And the 7, v'sheva shanim ze'ampin. The 7 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then there's kingship. You see? So we have wisdom, understanding, then kindness, severity, mercy, endurance, submission, dedication, those six, ending up in kingship. So that is the 7 years. So we've got 120 and 7 relating to the pattern of the Sefirot. So that's the way one of the discourses understands this verse.
What makes them connect like Keter to 100? Or Bina and with Chochmah to 10 each?
Well, that's an interesting aspect that numbers have a spiritual dimension for most people. You know, there's all kinds of, mysteries of numbers. And in Jewish thought, numbers have great significance. So 100 is like, given that 10 is a very significant number, like the number of the Sefirot, and then you have each one of the 10 Sefirot is composed of 10, so you've got 100. And you've got the source of the Sefirot, so Keter is like the source of the Sefirot beyond them. And so it comes down to 100, comes up to 100. And then the idea of wisdom and understanding being the fullness. If an ordinary Sefirah is like just one, and that's why there's 7 for each of these 7 Sefirot, so then wisdom and understanding, which are higher, they are 10. And Keter, which is even higher, is 100. That's a way of understanding it. There's another question which 2 of my grandchildren asked me just recently. What does it mean when we say, for example, they weren't speaking specifically about this, but this kind of thing, when you say that Sarah's life represents these divine emanations, what exactly is that concept? And the thing is that I haven't managed to reply to that question yet, but I've been thinking about it. The way that I think of it is that there is everything in existence is interleaved together. So we have the highest spiritual dimensions are somehow represented on the earthly plane as well. Because in fact the goal of God is to create a dwelling for the divine in the lower world. So, when you have a very spiritual person like Sarah or Abraham as well in other teachings, they were asking about Abraham, their life itself and their being expresses these sacred qualities. So therefore, in Sarah as a person, she's a physical woman, she had a baby, she looked after him, but nonetheless, her being expresses this spiritual flow from the very, from the high level to the exalted level of Keter, of crown, coming, that's 100, down through wisdom and understanding, 20, and then the other 7 Sefirot. That's so all that, as all focused in kingship of the world of emanation, the world of Atzilut. And so that was what was embodied in her. Now remember, we've got, these are the years of the life of Sarah. Now, what does it mean, that ending of the verse? It's told us how old she was. So why does it repeat, these are the years of the life of Sarah? So line 25 on this first page. And after that it says, Shnei Chayei Sarah, the years of the life of Sarah, which means, having focused this radiance in kingship, Hamshachat ha'or, the flow of the light, pouring the light, be'olamot, b'riya, in the worlds, the lower worlds, b'riya, yitzira, asiya. So the lower worlds are creation, formation, and action. That means coming down to our level here in the world. So that's what it means, the years of the life of Sarah. So that's that repetition. Right? The fact that it flows, the fact of there being this flow downwards into the lower level. All right?
There's a lot of repetition in this sutra. I mean, not specifically here, but, you know, all the things with the...
Yeah, we have Eliezer. The story of Eliezer is repeated several times. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand why it has to be repeated.
Okay, so, you know, when we with the concept of Eliezer, so the whole, discussions, why the story of Eliezer finding Rebecca at the well, you know, that story is told when it happens, and then again it's repeated when he tells her father about it, and her brother. Even when there is repetition for one thing, then there's a question on that. But every verse is supposed to be 100% significant. It's like a telegram. You know, we don't have telegrams anymore. But with a telegram, you would like think, how can I express this in, I can express it in 12 words, but could I express it in 10 words? I can't remember how the pricing went. You know, you paid a kind of minimum price for a certain number of words. Then every word extra was something else. So the fact that it says the years of the life of Sarah is telling us that the flow from kingship of Atzilut, of emanation, pours down into the lower worlds. Now, all this is from the first discourse from 1914. It's easy to remember because it's 1914 and 1918, right? Like the First World War. Line 27. Over Maimed de Shnat Ateret Mevai, and in the discourse of 1918, it explains, Be'inim Shnei Chai Sarah, talking about the years of the life of Sarah, he gives what seems to be completely different kind of explanation. Now let's see if we can understand it, because it's speaking about something very exalted. Shemudubah odot yesh mugash. It's speaking about, now, yesh means self. And for the most part, in Hasidic teachings, self is something very negative. Chabad Hasidic teachings focuses on selfless, being selfless, caring about another person rather than oneself. I'm not sure, I don't know any Russian, but I heard that when Reb Mendel Futterfass, this great Chassid, whose picture is somewhere on the wall, that's been moved, okay. So Reb Mendel, when he came to England, was very interested to discover that in English there's a word, myself. Myself. So I don't know whether Russian doesn't have this word. But, that really focuses, myself. and how important and central myself is in a person's life. And in Chabad, we're generally trying to run away from that. We want to be able to see someone else's self, someone else's needs. Care for someone else. Care for God. Give over ourselves to God. But that's genuinely and for most people. But there's a kind of idealized concept of kingship. Now, if we imagine kingship, now kingship, of course, relates to Svirah. The Svirah Malchut is kingship. Look at the first line on this next page. Haromamut veitnasut. The exaltation. The supreme quality. Shebisvirat HaMalchut, which is in the attribute of kingship. Kingship itself, even like common, I was going to say common or garden kingship. Now, the thing about kingship, it's not common or garden. I heard about someone who was in a school, the lady, who was then a young girl in a public school, a girls' public school. And many years ago, and the Queen Mother came to visit the school. And with her were two little girls called Elizabeth and Margaret. Right? Elizabeth is now the Queen. And this is many years ago. And Elizabeth and her sister Margaret were two little girls. So the Queen Mother comes onto the kind of the stage in front of the whole school, and the headmistress and everyone else is there. And suddenly these two little girls run onto the stage and they say, "Royalty has arrived." So the Queen Mother got hold of both of them, turned them round and said, "Royalty shall depart," and got rid of them off the stage. But it's very interesting, that concept of royalty. Mm. There's something supreme about royalty. Obviously, it can easily be misused. I heard a charming story about the Queen recently. She was talking to a woman who was holding a handbag, and suddenly this woman's phone in her handbag began ringing. So the Queen said, "Answer it. It might be someone important." Anyway, so the quality of royalty. Now, so we could say, you know, there's royalty, there's idealized, spiritual, Kabbalistic royalty. Look at verse 2, line 2. She'ein ze ba'ofen shel yeshut u'mugash ba'atzmo. This doesn't mean feeling one's own self in a kind of selfish way or a narcissistic way. Adaraba, on the contrary. Bechinut bitul be'etzem. The idea, the Hasidic concept, the kingship, is a king is someone who is totally selfless. Because for the king, his only existence is his country, his people. His concern for his country and his people. And if his people are threatened, he's threatened. He's not separate to his people. But this is the nature of kingship. Royalty. Hagbaha v'hitnasut. To be exalted. To be on a supreme level. Aval lo mugash. But without being felt. Kmo melech basar b'adam. Even a human king. Shemitzad teva hamalucha, that by the nature of kingship, v'lo mitzad ma'alat sichlo. It's not because he's very clever or something like that. By the fact that this man, is the king, harihi b'romumut v'hitnasut, he is on this exalted level. V'afal pisha romumut v'hitnasut ba b'mugash, and even though this exaltedness is in a sense felt, ein ze hege shel yeshut. It's not a narcissistic kind of feeling. Ubedugmat tzadikim gdolim, like great tzadikim, kmo Moshe Rabbeinu, like Moses when he was on the mountain, on Mount Sinai. Shahaya nizun miziv hashchina, he was fed by the radiance of the divine presence. Now, hare ziv hashchina, the radiance of the divine presence, ba b'mugash b'gufo, it came into his body and it became something physically tangible. It fed him. Aval ein ze b'hagasha, but he didn't feel it feeding him, right? It's flowing into him and it's becoming part of his flesh and blood, but he doesn't feel it. Aval derech gufim de la'atid, like bodies, physical bodies in the future, with tchiyat ha-meitim. Sheyu gufim gashmim, there'll be physical bodies. Ele sheyu betachlit ha-zikuch, but they'll be totally purified. V'yu nizonim miziv ha-shchina, and they'll be fed by the radiance of the divine presence. So in other words, it's talking about an incredibly exalted aspect of kingship its exaltation, which is something really supreme. And that's how it explains the years of the life of Sarah. Now, the Rebbe comments in line 16, V'lechora, at first sight, Shnei habirurim hem bestira zeh lezeh. These two explanations in the discourse of 1914 and the discourse of 1918 seem to be opposite. Ki lefi be'er rishon shnei chayei Sarah, according to the first explanation, the years of the life of Sarah is talking about the descent into the lower worlds. And according to the second explanation, the idea of this phrase, it's talking about such exaltation, it's really talking about a realm which is beyond the world of Atzilut. You know, so it's talking about some kind of supreme exaltation. That's in the second discourse, the 1918 discourse. Kimitzad olam atzilut, because from the point of view of the world of emanation, lo yachol liot chibur shnei afachim, you can't get two opposites joined. What are the two opposites? That you should have this feeling of immense power and significance and exaltation, and at the same time be completely selfless. So that, to achieve that, you have to go to you have to go beyond the worlds. Now, it's puzzling to me, because he's described, even in the case of a tzaddik, let's say, that the tzaddik has this quality of exaltation, and at the same time is completely selfless. Or even in the case of an earthly king, that he also feels an exaltation because of his sense of responsibility and power as a king of his people, and still can have humility. But here the Rebbe is putting it, that this comes from a very exalted high level. V'hainu, that means shemitzad olam atzilut, as far as the world of atzilut is concerned, yachol yod be'echod mishnei afanim. It could be one way or the other, either this way or that way. Either power and exaltation or selflessness. Ve'ilu achibur, but in order to join power and ultimate power and selflessness together, that joining is mitzad b'chinat or ein sof. That's because of the radiance of the infinite, which is higher than the world of Atzilut. So it's exaltation and also selflessness at the same time. Right? Selfless exaltation. That's now. So the Rebbe is looking at these two discourses by the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Rebbe is the seventh Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he's looking at these two discourses, and they seem to contradict. And he says in section Gimel, V'yesh l'tavech v'en shnei ha-perhushim hana. One can actually join together these two explanations of the two discourses. How are we going to do that? We're going to look at a third discourse. And that third discourse is a discourse by the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. So we've got the seventh Lubavitcher Rebbe telling us this teaching. He's discussing a teaching by the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. And in order to understand that, we have to go to the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. Right. So there is a comment, Bahakdim Beyo HaTzemach Tzedek. The Tzemach Tzedek, Rabbi Menachem Mendel, he lived around 1850. His name was Menachem Mendel, like our Rebbe, who was a descendant of his. Birshimotav letilim, capital Kuf Hei. So he wrote in his discussion of Psalm 105. Now, Psalm 105, at the time when this discourse was read, it was 104 years after the birth of the Rebbe Rashab. The Rebbe Rashab was born in 1860, and this discourse is being said in 1864, So this is 104 years after the birth of the Rebbe Rashab, right? And there's a concept that each person has a psalm relating to their years of life. So when a baby is born, its psalm is Psalm 1. That means it's in the first year of life. If someone is 25 years old, then they're in the 26th year of life, and so their psalm is chapter 26. If they're 100 years old, then their psalm is 101, because they're in the 101st year of life. So, and this goes on after death as well. So, with the case of the Rebbe Rashab, he had already passed away in 1920, but by 1964, his birthday would make him 104, so he's in the 105th year of life, and so the Rebbe is looking at a discourse by the Tzemach Tzedek discussing, or an explanation by the Tzemach Tzedek considering a verse in Psalm 105. So each one of us have a psalm, which is our psalm, our chapter of psalms. Some people say their psalm every day, some people say the psalm for themselves and their spouse and their child. It's a way of praying for one's child for good things. Now, so he is commenting on the verse ala pasuk, zacha lo'olam brito. He remembers, God remembers forever his covenant. Davad tziva le'elef dor, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. And he quotes a midrash, a teaching of the sages. Elef dor. Now let's try to understand this midrash. Elef dor alu b'machshava lihibarot. 1,000 generations arose in God's mind to create. V'chama nimuchu mehem, but many were extinguished, were erased. How many? Tav Tav Kuf Ayin Dalet Dorot, 974 generations. So 974 generations were extinguished or obliterated. My timer, what's the reason? Davat Tziva Le'elef Dor. Because he commanded for 1,000 generations, what did he command? Zeh Torah. He commanded the Torah. Vahainu, that means shahatorah nitna leMoshe Rabbeinu. The Torah was given to Moses, shahayado eschim v'sheish me'Adam Arishon, who was 26 generations from Adam and Eve. So, we're going to need another bit of paper. Let's see if we can understand this little bit of arithmetic. So we somehow have the idea that there's going to be 1,000 generations. So we've got, you know, let's say, so Hashem at the beginning, and he's creating the world. Let's see, this is a kind of a timeline. And so at the beginning, he thinks of 1,000 generations, and at the end of 1,000 generations is going to be the giving of the Torah. Right, so that's an amazing thing. We'll depict it graphically. There we have the two tablets, top of Mount Sinai, right? Okay, so that is 1,000 generations, right? So that's 1,000 generations. Not 1,000 years, but 1,000 generations. So there's God originating the world, creating the world, and 1,000 generations later comes the giving of the Torah. But many of these generations were extinguished. Now, how many? If we count back from Moses to Adam, we've got 26 generations. So here's Adam. And there's Moses at the giving of the Torah. So there's 26 generations. So how many are here? We don't know anything about them. We're not told about them in the Torah. The Torah starts with Adam. So that means that the 974 generations which are over here, they are all forgotten. They're submerged. We don't know about them.
So Adam was not the first generation.
He was the 975th generation. And from him, 26 generations later comes Moses. Except that in terms of a physical world, and a physical man and a physical woman, he was the beginning. So it means that these 974 generations never saw the light of day as physical world.
Right?
They were in God's thought, but they didn't come to be in the reality of existence. Right? Now, so he quotes this opinion. V'yesh de'a, but now there's another opinion. That's line 11. Sh'tav tav kuf pei dorot nimochu, that it was 980 generations were erased. Why 980? Because davat tzival elef dor, God commanded something for 1,000 generations earlier. What did he command? The first explanation was he commanded the Torah. The second explanation is he commanded Brit Milah, circumcision. Circumcision is something so holy. It's something which expresses the unique bond of the Jewish people with God. It is an operation which takes place on a man. But Isha kebehula damya, a woman is considered circumcised. The holiness of circumcision applies to every member of the Jewish people. And so everyone has that special quality. And that is a very special quality. It's the quality of a connection with God beyond reason. And that's something infinite. And this Shenitna la Avraham, it was given to Abraham. Shahaya dor eshrim la Adam arishon. He was 20 generations after Adam. So there's another way of seeing it. Not going from Adam to the giving of the Torah, but going from Adam to Abraham. And from Adam to Abraham, that's 20 generations, not 26. So therefore, we've got two opinions. We've got one opinion that it's about Abraham, the other opinion that it's about Moses. So let's put Moses' name here. So it's like, you know, each of these is being presented as the kind of focus of existence according to this midrash. Now, Umavaya Tzemach Tzedek, the Tzemach Tzedek explains, line 19, here we go back into Numbers and Sfirot, She'elef u'prinat atzilut, 1,000 means the world of atzilut, the world of emanation. And it explains this in a fascinating way, that there is a passage in the Talmud which says 1,000 people come to yeshiva to study Chumash. And then of those 1,000, 100 study Mishnah. And 10 study Talmud. And one is able to actually decide the halacha. So it's like step by step by step. And it's known that Chumash is in the world of action, and Mishnah is in the world of formation, and Talmud is in the world of creation, and the actual Hora'ah, the decision of the Halakha, that's in the world of Atzilut. So each one of those is in a different world. So the world of Atzilut represents the cream of 1,000. Now, according to this, it's understood. Now, there's another verse. King Solomon says, um, It's from Ecclesiastes, right? This is King Solomon, usually in a sort of negative mood. So he says, I found one man among a thousand, but not one woman. Okay, we might think that that's being a bit negative to women, God forbid. But the Rebbe doesn't explain the verse that way. I found one man among a thousand, but not one woman. Who is the woman? That woman is Sarah. And what does it mean I didn't find her? Because she is higher. She's on a higher level. The man, the one man, is on the level of a thousand. Like, a thousand go in to study Chumash, and 100 then proceed to Mishnah, and 10 go on to Gemara, and 1 is the teacher, the one who can actually decide the halacha. Okay, that's like, that's the male, that's the one man of 1,000, but the woman is beyond that. And even so, so she's on a higher level. Kihi, look at this, line 28. Kihi lemaile ma'atzilut. Sarah is higher than Atzilut. She's higher than the world of emanation. Higher than the thousand. Now, va'af al pi she'inyana shel Sarah, even though the nature of Sarah is to draw down those qualities of Avraham, that means of the thousand and of what's lower, ba'olamot b'riya yetzira asiya, into the lower worlds. Right, because Avraham is this sort of exalted level, and there is drawing down that exalted level into the world. And this is a very interesting thing in the interaction between husband and wife, that it's as if the wife enables that there should be between them a channeling which flows from above down into the world. This when the Rebbe's wife, well, first let's start with the person who's saying this discourse, which is Rabbi Menachem Mendel, the Tzemach Tzedek, in 1850. So he would say a lot of discourses. But when his wife passed away, unfortunately, he stopped saying discourses. He stopped teaching discourses. It's as if that channel into the world was no longer open. And the same happened with our Rebbe. When his wife passed away, Rebbe Tzemachai Mushka, he stopped saying discourses in the ordinary way. So the last discourses of the Rebbe were before his wife passed away. So there's that sense of husband and wife, that the wife is drawing down something from the husband into the world. Which would make it seem as if Sarah is lower than Abraham. Abraham is very exalted. Sarah is able to draw from Abraham lower down into the world. The Rebbe says, no, it's the other way around. Because Sarah is on a very exalted level, she is able to give this input to Abraham so that his teaching is able to go down into the world. So the way that you get something very exalted coming down into the world is by being even more exalted and enabling it to flow down. Now that explains the way in which Sarah, or kingship, the life of Sarah, this discourse is about the life of Sarah. And so this explains the way in which Sarah operates in two modes, which is the question. The 1914 discourse by the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, the first discourse of 1914, presents Sarah as kingship, making the flow from the higher levels flow down into the lower levels of the world. The 1918 discourse talks about Sarah as expressing exaltation, selfless exaltation, which is only on a very exalted level. The Rebbe is putting the two concepts together. In order for kingship at the lower level to send a flow down into our physical world to here, you need to have an input from a much higher level. And Sarah represents both. So the 1914 discourse explains how she sent a flow down into the world, the lower world. And the 1918 discourse speaks about how she's on a very exalted level. That's how she's able to do it. So you need both concepts. All right, but let's look at a little bit more. So we're on page 10, line 27. Actually becomes extremely... Valpiza yuvan yoter, and according to this, we'll understand more, tivuch shnei perushim, the joining together of two explanations, b'mamarei admor nishmato eden, in the discourses of the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe, shelo zu bilvad shiyaridat sfirat hamalchut, not only the descent of the quality of kingship into the lower worlds, le'olamot b'riya yitzira asiya, coming down into the lower worlds in order to sift the sparks which are hidden in the lower worlds. That's why it comes down into the lower worlds. That's its flow downwards, because hidden in the world there are sparks of holiness, and those sparks of holiness need to be elevated. That comes, as we've just said, from the empowerment. He mitzad anetinat koch. It comes from the empowerment mipchinas shel amaylim atzilut, from a level which is higher than emanation, higher than Atzilut. Not only that, Ela Odzot, but another point, now on page Yud, Sha'al Yedei HaBerurim, through sifting these sparks, Bayin Madriga Shelemayim Atzilut, one reaches a level that is higher than Atzilut. So that means, by going down into the world, into the lower and lower levels, and they're finding certain sparks of holiness, and elevating those sparks of holiness, one reaches an exalted level beyond. Even more, the ascent, the spiritual ascent, which comes about through the sifting of sparks, even though in a revealed way, we will only see that in the future when Mashiach comes, when it's Tchiyat HaMetim, hinei bepnimiut, in an inward way, yeshno gam achshav, it's there now as well. We are here in the world. We're surrounded by different aspects of materiality. Very often there are different kinds of struggle that the person has, and that struggle enables one. You see, the spark is the spark, you could say, of choice. A person is confronted with a choice in life. Now, there are big, serious choices, maybe only a few times in a person's life. But in a little way, there are choices every hour, every few minutes. To say this, not to say this. To think this, not to think that. To do it, not to do it. To eat it, not to eat it. There's lots of choices. And every time there's a moment of choice, that's when there's a spark which is waiting to be redeemed. And so by redeeming that spark, yes, if it's something that one isn't supposed to do, and it's very attractive, you want to do it. There's a tendency, a built-in hardwiring, which makes a person want to do that thing. But the person restrains themselves, and they don't do it. So it's as if that spark of holiness, which was hidden in this negative thing, is now elevated and connected to its source beyond. And so we are doing that all the time, all through our lives, and in a certain sense, every day. So that we only get into that possibility by going down and being down in the lowest world where we are. But what we are achieving is sending something very spiritual to an exalted level, right? So that's the spark from below that we discover in these moments of choice below. Right, and that illumination is evident right now. Val Pizan, according to this, Yesh Levaya, we can explain what it's written, the years of the life of Sarah, that it includes all her life together. You remember that Rashi's comment was, all of the years of her life are one together, they're all good, equally good. And it doesn't divide them into different groups, into a 100 or 20 and 7. It just says all the years of her life. Shnei Chayei Sarah, the years of the life of Sarah. Because this is something, this exalted possibility of being down in the lowest world and elevating these sparks to the highest level, that's something beyond distinctions. And you see, so it's going to a very, very exalted level, which is beyond the simple distinctions that here, you see, in the world of this sort of this spiritual cosmos, as described by the Kabbalists, there are all kinds of different distinctions. But when you reach closer to the essence, there are no distinctions. There it's all oneness. And so the idea that through the fact that we are here in the world and we're faced with these choices and we struggle with them and we make a little step forward and sometimes backward and then we have to try and get forward again. Those little steps, those actually reach the realm which is beyond distinctions. So when it says in the verse in the Torah, these are the years of the life of Sarah, we're really stepping beyond distinctions. So there's a whole chain of connections, which is expressed by the beginning of the verse. And then the end of the verse, the years of the life of Sarah, represent the incredible spiritual possibilities that every human being, never mind Abraham and Sarah, great tzaddikim, whom we've been speaking about, but every single person has got this opportunity, and certainly every single Jew has got the opportunity that in their life, in the daily moments of choice in their life, where they are resisting this pressure and they're resisting that pressure, at that moment they are achieving something beyond the distinctions that are here, something on a very exalted level. And so now the Rebbe, if we just look at the last few lines of this discourse, and really what he's doing is referring to Rashi's comment. When we go to that level which is beyond distinctions, then the 100 and the 20 and the 7, they all become the same. And that's why Rashi says in the commentary that I read out, that when she is 100, she's like 20. And when she's 20, she's like 7. So this like. So that is, so therefore there's a similarity, but they're different. Whereas when you come to the end of the verse, the years of the life of Sarah, it's not like, they actually are equal. All of them are equal. The 100, the 20, the 7, they're all absolutely equal beyond any kind of distinction whatsoever.